Halloween episode of Night of Living Dread, which is going to be a fun one. As always, brought to you by Gore Hounds of Horror, gorehoundsofhorror.com. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And we also have a third party in the insane asylum. He wanted to just go by Bobby, but I feel like I should call him Xylus Toffer.
Sounds good to me. Also known as.
Also known as.
The only Xylus Toffer in the world.
Hey, you better put that big red ball a little bit more in front of your face if you want to be heard.
All right, I got you.
All right, so anyway, this is the Halloween episode, and we're going to talk a little bit about the origins of Halloween. Now, I want to start with Rodney. Oh, I did it again.
Who the fuck is that?
No, that was my buddy that was over earlier. I got him confused, man. Sorry. We're going to start with Malice. Malice.
Yes.
What, let's talk about the origins of Halloween, man.
All right, what do you want to know?
All right, I want you to tell me, because you have been, like, asshole deep in that Wikipedia you got going on over there, and let's see what's going there.
It didn't do any good.
It didn't do any good.
Nothing stuck.
Well, you know, maybe we ought to just start off with, now, everybody knows, you know, Otis B. Dreads, I'm an older guy. Bobby is a little bit, you know, right around my age, but
yeah, I feel pretty old. I look pretty old. I'm pretty old, man.
No, you're really not.
Thanks, man. That's sweet.
Aw. Anyway, there's a article that we all came across.
Yeah.
Now, we have, and the reason I bring up our age and Malice, I know you probably have heard these horror stories. We have talked about them on past shows. Putting razor blades, safety pins, you know, just foreign objects, drugs into candies and whatnot. Well, now we have a story here right out of Ohio, which I think we figured out was what, just north of Columbus?
Yeah, right around the Mansfield area. Galleon.
Galleon, Ohio. A five-year-old boy in Ohio is expected to make a full recovery after he ate a piece of Halloween candy that was possibly laced with drugs. Could anybody guess what the drugs would be? And I know the first one would be heroin.
All right, you would think?
I was thinking more along the lines of edible marijuana, you know, like gummies.
Really?
Yeah. That's what would come to my mind first.
Yeah, maybe somebody baking up some homemade candies, some weed candies or something, maybe. You would think.
Now, I would have thought heroin, but no. This is actually much worse, I think.
Yeah.
For this five-year-old boy, Braylon Carwell, who was hospitalized for a suspected seizure and later tested positive for methamphetamines. He had gone trick-or-treating on Sunday before he fell. His mom stated the left side of his face was droopy. Then he fell. Then he couldn't move his left arm. A five-year-old boy, can you, you know, I mean, We'll start with you, Bobby. You know, I mean, how would you feel watching your child, you know, just acting this way because they just ate a piece of fucking candy with meth in it?
Yeah, I can't even imagine what I would think or feel. And surely it'd be outraged. But I can't imagine seeing my kid like that.
Right.
It's fucking horrible. I don't know why anybody would do that. I don't know. Can we cuss on here?
Oh, I'm
all right. Because of a story like this, it's going to bring it out.
No, no. Sure. I mean, it should. Because, you know, I mean, nowadays it is more for, you know, the children. Right. Although, you know, more and more over the years, as we'll get into some of the origins and the evolutions of Halloween over the years, you know, it's mainly for the kids.
Yeah.
It really is, it is. You know.
It's special for them, man. The kids love trick-or-treating and stuff.
Right.
You know, what kid doesn't love candy, dressing up and stuff, and going out with their friends?
Sure.
It's great. It's supposed to be a fun time and a good, you know, good night for the kids.
Right, right.
You know, who wouldn't? I just don't understand why anybody would do it.
It makes no sense. I can't either.
What could somebody possibly get off of that?
What is the benefit that you gain from that? Malice? What's your thoughts, brother? Because you know, as we've mentioned, you know, you do have two twin boys. You have, you know, one on the way. You just took your boys trick-or-treating. To hear about this story that's honestly not so far from the insane asylum that we're sitting in right now. When you hear a story like this, a five-year-old boy, and ironically enough, your twin boys are five. I mean, the mic is yours, my friend, because I know this has got to bring up some rage.
Oh, it definitely does. It pisses me off. I would definitely be the guy, you know, knocking and talking and finding the fucking meth head. Mm.
Sweeping the streets.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Malice is so mad. He's finding it hard to even talk. And I can't imagine, dude. I can't imagine.
I would probably be going to jail for killing the wrong fucking person. Like, I'd probably just find someone that was really tired, opening the door, boom, 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 yeah. Motherfucker!
Or just retracing your steps of where you took the kids, and, I can see a killing spree going on there. Man, what do you think, Bobby? Can you see that? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, how else could you go?
all I can imagine is being the parent and sitting there watching my kid seize on me. You know, scared to death that my kid's dying on me. Imagine how the kid feels. The kid don't know what is going on.
No.
Scared to death that they're dying.
Right.
Being treated like they're dying because the parents are freaking out. Mm-hmm. You know, has to be a horrible experience, man. I don't know how anybody could get any kind of thrill off of it. There's no excuse for it. It's just ridiculous.
No.
This day and age, man, people are just seem to be getting stupid. Even more stupid than they ever were to do something like that. That's dumb. Nobody should ever have that in their mind to do something like that.
Not,
what kind of a shitbag does that?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Fuck a 5-year-old kid, man. Really?
I mean, and as you've made, you know, so much mention to, I mean, what's the fucking point? Malice, what do you think is the fucking point here? What could be the possible point behind, you know, loading some candy up with some meth so, you know, a small child, as I noted, you know, it's mainly for kids to go trick-or-treating. We all have them fond memories. We talked about that on the last podcast. Some of our fond, or my fond memories. You know, I mean, what is the point of that? I mean,
it definitely takes a sick motherfucker to do it.
I don't understand it, man.
I mean, it could have been far worse. The kid could have died. It could have been a younger child that, you know, that definitely would have fucking died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just, I mean, it's hard to even,
it's hard try to talk
it, it's
about.
Hard to even think of a possibility of what would possess someone to do it. I mean, it's almost impossible.
Right.
Like, who hurts a child?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah, that's as hardcore, man. Sticking meth. Again, Ohio boy tests positive for meth after eating Halloween candy. And I'll put this link in the description of the podcast. Horrible, horrible shit right there, man. Where do you go from there? You know where you go? Where did all this shit start? Why are kids trick-or-treating? What is the origins of trick-or-treating? And before we get into that, we're going to take ourselves a little break and we're going to play some pretty fitting music, and that would be Glenn Danzig and the Misfits. Halloween! Hey, let Bobby do his little Glenn Danzig impersonation. Come on, brother.
I don't even know if I remember him. Let's see.
Halloween!
Yeah! Everything's a here. Got a great voice, just not really meant for the type of music, but I dig Danzig and the Misfits.
No, good stuff. So,
but you know, just briefly,
sure.
It's a shame that you have to start off something that should be as interesting and fun to talk about as the origins of Halloween.
As Halloween,
to have to start off with a story like that's retarded.
But man. But I wanted to. I think we all needed to get that out. Look, this is still, unfortunately, a problem. And now we're not dealing with razor blades, and we're not dealing with safety pins. Yeah. We're dealing with meth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's got that much meth to just give away and shoving candy? I mean, and dude, I just have no sympathy for, you know, people, you know, doing, you know, those things, man. It's horrible. Like you said, you know, it's it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah. Well, just hopefully the kid turns out all right. It seems like he's going to. That's good.
So,
and we
can
get on to happier subjects.
Absolutely. And that being the origins. Origins. See what I did there? The origins of Halloween and why we celebrate this glorious holiday. So with that, enjoy the Misfits Halloween. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And that was Glenn Danzig in the background. And we'll be right back.
Murphy.
And it's just been an interesting break. Again, that was the Misfits. Halloween.
Nice little ditty from our childhood.
you know you wanted to do it.
What's that?
You know.
What?
Elvis Travolta.
Oh, yeah. That's what he is. Glenn Danzig sounds like Elvis Travolta to me. Halloween! I can see him in Greece, man. He's going to be the next. He's going to be in Greece. Was it three or four now?
I have no clue.
Ten. He's going to take John Travolta's spot.
You need to stick your mouth closer. It's too close.
All right, there we go. Is that better?
Yeah, no, it looks great, man.
Awesome.
So, all right. Halloween.
Yep.
The origins of Halloween. And you're kind of a history buff, man. You really dig that kind of stuff.
I do.
And that's why we're going to start off with you... And get your you know background on Halloween. Where does your research take you as far as where it started, how it all began, and so on?
Well, as far as I understand, you know, it started with with the Celtics, and possibly the Druids as well. It seemed like they had the same kind of holidays and stuff. Maybe they were possibly, coexisting, or they were each other.
Right.
I don't know if anybody really knows. Yeah. I know the Druids are kind of an off people that they don't know much about.
Right.
The Stonehenge kind of people. But as far as I know, it goes back a couple thousand years at least. And I've heard even 3,500 years. I haven't done a whole lot of research into Halloween, but the bit that I did read on it and research, over the years... says that it was, a holiday where it was all about the oncoming of death.
Right.
The act of the trees and the flowers dying, harvest season was they saw that as the death, you know, of everything around them. You know, it became very superstitious, you know, about that time of year, which is where, you know, we get all the stuff, you know, the pumpkins and all that stuff. It was harvest season. They had an abundance of everything. But at the same time, everything was dying around them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they probably felt a lot like we do today, other than obvious technology that we have and the heat in the house and stuff. But, you know, it could, you know, it could wear you out in the wintertime.
Sure.
Having to do things outside and stuff. And I'm sure that the whole feeling of the wintertime, the coldness, the having to be indoors and stuff added to all of it, where they really just started thinking a lot about the death around them, putting superstitions on them. And that would be my thought, you know, from what I've seen and what I've read. But it wasn't known as Halloween back then, obviously.
This is
just like the origins of where it
might have
come from.
Wasn't even known as Samhain. Yeah.
Samhain.
Yeah. Wasn't even known as that back then.
No, and this is even pre that. You know, the earliest beginnings of it.
Right.
It had a lot to do with the death around them, from what I can see. And then they started to be more spiritual, you know, believe that this is the time of year that you could communicate with the dead and things that. This is where everything's dying. Everything's going to become brand new in the next cycle.
And kind of where, you know, the living and the dead kind of meet. Malice, what do you got to say about this, brother? You know, Halloween, the night where the living and the dead are supposed to kind of, like, mingle that night, man. What do you got to say about what... our guest Bobby has said.
I would completely agree with him.
Right.
It's interesting shit.
It is.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, from what it turned into, you know, them offering gifts and, you know, doing certain rituals to try to keep the evil spirits from, you know, attacking them. And
which goes into, like, you know, wearing the mask.
Yeah, and the costumes.
Yeah, right.
The jack-o'-lanterns.
Right. Ward off the, you know, the what, evil dead? Or the evil period.
The evil period, I would assume.
So, we have that going on, you know. So we already touched on where... Trick or treat. Do you have anything you want to add to this, Bob? No? He said, I can.
I was just thinking, can you imagine how you would feel if you were living back then? You know, especially if we're talking 2,000, 3,000 years ago, you know, way BC that this started, possibly. Then imagine how you were feeling back then. You were watching nature die around you and probably wondering, am I going to die too? I mean, I imagine they saw themselves as a part of nature itself.
Right.
So, maybe they offered up the gifts and stuff for the spirits because they really believed that the spirits is what was taking the land and possibly their lives. A lot of people die from disease in the wintertime. A lot of people commit suicide historically during the wintertime. It's a very depressing time of year.
Well, they call it seasonal affective disorder or something, where it calls SAD, acronym being SAD, where, you know.
They call Christmas the silly season, right? In the dead of wintertime, and people
unfortunate, you know, suicides and murder suicides happen around, you know, Christmas time.
Yes, and you can imagine in their time, if they're thinking this, you know, the death is upon us, they got a certain time of year where they really feel like death, they can communicate with the dead and stuff. Everything's dying. If the death is there to take it away, maybe, you know, and that's, they start painting their faces up to try to scare away the evil spirits. And
try to be, you know, scarier than the spirits that they're scared of.
Or even mimic an evil demon or something to make believe that you're one of them, you know. Just that kind of deep spirituality that they got into watching the world. They didn't have all this stuff that we have. They really paid close attention to nature and the stars and things like that.
Yeah, there was no technology, of course.
You know, looking at the stars was their, you know, astrology was their checkers, you know. It's just what you do.
Absolutely.
And so they were well aware of the things that were going on around them. I imagine it had to scare them like hell. They don't have none of the conveniences back in that we do.
Right.
You know, yeah, good luck getting a fire started. I hope we get a fire started today. Everything is soaking wet.
Now we have a fire stick.
Yeah. Indeed.
Now we have a fire stick.
That puts it into perspective.
I tried, my friend. Malice, what do you get to say about that? You know, anything you want to comment on that? Because I think it was, you know, pretty right on. I mean, Bobby, you've done your, you know, research, and I know you have, because we've known each other for quite some time. Not much longer, I don't think, than I've known good old Malice here. And, yeah, you thought I was.
Yeah, I did.
But, so, you know, again, we've kind of touched on the, you know, trick-or-treating aspect of it. Well, we didn't touch really on the spirit cakes. Spirit cakes, which were actually yum. which were actually these kids, because of the stories of these lost souls that were trapped in purgatory. If you go to these houses and get spirit cakes, then and then you know, you say a prayer and eat these spirit cakes, then you release one of the souls. We all three of us sat here and watched, you know, them describe this particular trick or treating. We'll start with you, Malice. What'd you think about the spirit cakes? Have you had any?
Yes, I actually eat two every year.
Two every year, right.
Yeah, one for my grandma Ruth and one for my grandpa Jack.
How's that worked out for you?
Actually, you know, I ate them to keep them there.
Did they have raisins?
Yes.
They did?
Yeah.
You made them exactly like what we saw in this, you know, documentary. We were refreshing.
I got the recipe on my phone.
What? You got what?
I got the recipe in my phone.
So, I mean, is, you know, what else do you think about that?
I think it's bullshit.
You think it's bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Bobby, what do you think about the raisin or the raisin soul cakes?
I think it's, the evolution is pretty awesome with the candy and all that. The stuff's still going on today. They just don't pray over it.
Well, I'm just glad that they don't pass out raisin soul cakes and pass out Snickers now.
Oh, I'm saying. But
no meth in mind, please. Hold the meth.
From what I'm seeing, they don't look too bad. I wouldn't mind trying one. I mean, I wouldn't pray over it, I don't think. I don't think it would do me any good. I am my demons. I don't need nothing to protect me from those. You kidding? Demon ain't got nothing on the way I am.
You say He-Man?
He-Man.
As in the cartoon He-Man.
I never even watched it when I was a kid.
Shut up. You just brought it up.
No, I didn't watch She-Ra either. Was that even a cartoon?
I have no idea. Anyway, all right. You got to watch this guy, Bobby. We will go way off topic. We'll be talking about 80s cartoons here in a minute and fishing.
Oh, yeah, tons of fishing.
But instead, that's maybe another podcast for another show. Let's talk some ghost stories. And while the mic is staring you in the face, my friend, why don't you, Bobby, start off with, you told us actually a couple, or actually, no, you told us one. This will be the third time that you've told it. And then there's one that I told you to hold off for.
Right.
So you can start with whichever one, because how appropriate, Halloween, you gotta have some ghost stories, and some of these are pretty eerie.
Well, this one's real simple. It's not real long. But it happened just a couple doors down here, so I thought you might have thought
interesting. Oh, a couple doors down from the insane asylum.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
Yeah, right down the street. I had a girlfriend back in 2001, and her parents lived there. And I used to have to go pick her up. And she never wanted to really introduce me to her parents because, yes, I was a major pothead. And I was always high when I came to pick her up, and she didn't want to, you know, to introduce me like that. So I did have to come over sober one day. And I came over to meet her parents and ended up staying at the house there for about 5 hours. Met her parents and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, they hated me. It's great. They did. Well, you know me, everybody. You have to hate
right.
me. But anyway, we're sitting there, you know, later that night, me and her are watching a movie. Her parents are back in the room. And as we're sitting there, every time she reaches over to kiss me or something, you know, or we embrace or something, the TV will go fuzzy. Okay. She told me stories after this that were odd. But anyway, I was gonna tell you those, but it really doesn't matter with those. Those are later. But anyway, she had a turntable, an old style turntable,
right,
down with her TV and stuff. Right. And I noticed, and she noticed, it turned on. The green light came on it, and the turntable started to spin. Okay, every time she would embrace me, something weird would happen. This house had an eerie
just
feeling.
Just a hug or a...
Yeah, an embrace, a kiss, anything. And the TV would go fuzzy.
Holding hands?
Player played.
Did that set it off?
She was laying on me.
Okay.
And anytime she would reach up to get a kiss or hug me or something like that. And we get into the story about... she says, oh, by the way, you know, my house is haunted. She said my grandma died in the living room. And she said my parents got this house from my grandma. And she said it's always been haunted. She says I wake up some nights, you know, I go to sleep in my pajama bottoms, and I wake up and my pajama bottoms are folded on, you know, next to me.
This is after you've been rubbing uglies?
Yeah, and I never would in the house. I always felt so uncomfortable in that house.
Really?
It wasn't just any of that stuff, more than it was when I'd walk in there, I felt unwelcome. You know, not just by her parents, who, or her dad liked me at least,
right,
but not just her parents, but it just felt weird. And I just hate going in there. It's right down the road. And she says she grew up like that, you know, when she was a kid after her grandma died, that it's just been a haunted house. But that really freaked me out, man. I had never, to that point, ever been in a really spooky haunted house before. And had any kind of story that I could tell that was really interesting.
But you did have one incident that happened at...
recently.
George Rogers State Park, which is actually located in Springfield, Ohio.
It is.
Which isn't far from where the insane asylum sits right now. And you have a story there about something that happened to you and an ex of yours. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've been going to George Rogers to fish since I was 6 years old. My dad used to take me there. We'd go there all day. We'd spend just about every weekend from the time I was 6 to I was 10. I've been going there forever. And so I still do. And never had anything weird happen to me. It's a very historic site, you know. So if there's going to be anything, chances are it's going to be a place like that.
Right.
But I never even thought about it. Never really crossed my mind, right? And we were there one day, and I decided to stay like I usually do. The park closes at dusk. I decided just to stay until they came around and told us to leave.
Because will do that.
Yeah, they'll come around. The rangers will come around and tell you, you know, it's time to leave. We're locking the gates up, whatever. They'll holler out their window or something at you. And so we were really pushing it. It was a really nice day, a great day. We spent probably about 6 hours out of there. And by the time it started to get dark and we were thinking about reeling them in and start to go.
What were you catching?
All bluegill all the time there, it seems like. Yeah. You know,
it was just a little leg. I didn't want to get into the fishing, but
we can do fishing.
Settle down, Malice. But okay, yeah. So you know, good day, nice calm day.
No,
you know, little windy.
Yeah, it was
said,
a breeze.
Right? Breeze.
you know, your typical 80 degree days with your nice, you know, 8 mile per hour breeze blowing ripples on the lake. You know, really nice day. It was, you know, good enough ripples to make your bobber flow away, you know, if you're using a, you know, a top or something.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, right as we were getting ready to leave and thinking about leaving and reeling it up, she noticed that there was spirals in the water, you know, like a whirlpool. And I never, there's no reason for there to be a whirlpool. It wasn't a huge whirlpool. I mean, you're talking about maybe 3 feet around.
Not a huge, lake.
No, there's no reason for it to have the kind of whirlpool that looks like a drain emptying. Right. And that's what it looked like. And it was kind of across the lake. Mm-hmm. She could still see it, but when she pointed it out to me, it was odd. And it lasted the whole time, by the way. But we went over to look at it closer because we wanted to see what the hell. Why were there? I've been going there all my life and never seen anything like it. And we got a close look at it, and sure enough, it was like a drainage whirlpool. Like water was emptying out. Wow. And it was really odd. It was kind of near the middle of the lake, near, you know, one side of the lake, but kind of in the middle where it would be a bit deeper, I would think. And but that was the first thing. All of a sudden, everything got calm. You know, like all the ripples in the lake just stopped. A mist started to form, a nighttime mist, because it was getting to be dusk.
Which could be explained by the time, you know, because
it was a hot day.
Right.
You know, a little mist, you know, nothing really unusual. But the way it settled down and calmed down was very eerie.
That would seem kind of weird.
By that point, everybody had already left. Like I said, you have to be out of there. We were the last ones. I was always the last one to leave. I almost had to make them force me to leave. So, Once everything gets just calm like that, we both just kind of agree, this is really weird. There's a real heavy feeling going on here. Before too long, as we're sitting there trying to figure out, man, because the fish have stopped biting everything. I mean, we were slamming them all day. And everything just stopped. So everything just got real still.
Interesting.
Really eerie, from a nice breezy day to all of a sudden just nothing. But I mean, it does happen. But the eeriness of the way it felt, you mean, you had to have been there. And then we hear this scream. It sounds like a kid screaming real loud. I mean, goes on for a good 5-10 minutes. And we're both sitting there contemplating, rather, this is off into the woods. And good sound effects. And back behind the woods is a highway. And it sounded like a kid was screaming over there. And we were debating whether or not we should go and check it out. As we're debating this, a woman comes up riding a horse, which is not unusual for that area either. They do have stables nearby, and people do ride horses. This woman didn't look like a ghost or nothing. I'm not saying she was. I'm saying it was just odd where she came kind of up the hill, and we didn't see her going down at all that day. We didn't see her at all that day.
So it wasn't what you would say was, what, like an apparition?
No.
Or, wasn't that. I mean, you were pretty much dead set in your head that...
It's just a person looks wearing like a really, not, I don't know what you would call it, neon blue, maybe?
Sky blue?
Yeah, a real light type of blue that you almost like somebody would wear if they were wanting to be seen at night on a motorcycle or something. You know, almost reflective. A real light blue. Okay. And it looked like just a normal person. And I didn't really think much of her. I still really don't know what to make of her. But as we're hearing these screams, she's looking at us on the horse, on the trail. She's looking up at us on the horse and looking back where the screams are coming from. And it's like she contemplated, I'm going to go down here on my horse and find out what these screams are. So she rode down on her horse to where the screams were coming from. And within 10 seconds, she was right back up on the trail again. We seen her coming. But thought to ourselves that what took her 10 seconds to do, we thought should have took her at least 40 or 50 seconds to do. She made it around the trees and stuff really quick to be up on the trail that fast.
Now, let me ask you this, Bobby. Were you on drugs? Was it just a time perception thing?
It's definitely no drugs. And a lot of times I'll drink when I'm fishing, but that day we were there most of the day, I didn't drink at all. So, no, I wasn't.
So there was nothing in your system. So nothing would just, you know, alter your time perception. Like, oh, that seemed like 10 seconds, but, you know, maybe it was a minute.
It was pretty quick because this all happened pretty fast because we were getting ready to leave anyway. So this all happened within 15-20 minute time period that we're watching all this stuff happen. And the screams are still going on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we agree it's eerie. We're going to get out of here. And we were going to go anyway, so we just got our shit and got going. As we're coming around the bend, if you go to George Rogers, there's as you're coming out of there, there's like mock teepees and stuff up on the left side of the road. There's a bend right there that you come around. As we're coming around that bend, something black and dark jarts in front of our car from one side of the woods to the other side of the woods. She slams on the brake. Yes, she's driving. Yeah, I know. That sounds bad, don't it? She's driving. But she is. But she slams on the brakes, and we both agreed something did. And what it looked like to both of us in a split second that it ran across the path, it looked like a topless person, like just the bottom legs.
Torso,
that was, yeah,
right. From what, like the waist down?
From the waist down, black, that ran across to the point where she slammed on the brakes. Creeped us out pretty bad. We talked about it the whole way home. Took her back to my house, dropped her back off later that night, came back to the house. I started doing research on George Rogers. You know, I just wanted to learn everything I could. And she was doing it, too. She went home and she started doing research. We were really gigged out about this.
Here comes the good part, folks.
And as I'm doing research, there was a battle that happened there. It was the only Revolutionary War battle to happen in the state of Ohio. And it happened there at George Rogers. About 40 people died in the skirmish. They were all buried where they lay on the battlefield there. There was a murder of the guy who lived in that house there in 1866, I do believe, Daniel Hertzler. So he died on
the
that
Hertzler
property
house.
As well. Yeah, that's the Hertzler house. He built that house in 1855. It's a very spooky place and purported to be haunted. He was murdered in that house in the 1860s by two guys looking for banknotes because he was a banker. And all that stuff I started to look up, and I knew some of the history to it, but I didn't know that. And then when I looked at the date of the battle, it said August 8th. And we were there. That was the night we were there, was August 8th. I had no idea that was the date of the battle until I looked it up that very night. It was August 8th.
Now, you mentioned something to me about, you know, those screams you heard in the woods. Mm-hmm. You were able to almost identify them with some pretty likeness to a Indian war cry.
Yeah, and she,
tell me about that.
She actually brought that to my attention.
Right.
She said, I wonder if that's what it would sound like if, because we were talking about the battle, if that's what it would be sound like if somebody was dying or being killed. And she brought up, or maybe even a war cry.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was interesting. I got on YouTube. You can get right on YouTube and look up old 1920s, 1930s, 1940s footage of these mock battles that they're having with real Indians who are doing real war cries. And it sounded just like it, to the point where I sent that video to her, and she commented back to me through the text, wow, in big letters. She said, that's exactly what we heard. It sounds exactly like that. It sounded like a war cry.
Wow.
It was a scream. They scream real loud. It ain't what you would think. If you go back and listen to those authentic war cries, they just scream.
So how could one find, you know, what that sounds like? So maybe they could, in their own mind, you know, replicate what you heard. Where could someone find an Indian war cry?
Yeah.
And on YouTube, maybe?
Exactly. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. Just put in Indian war cry. You know, authentic.
Authentic Indian war cry.
And it'll bring up video after video of old footage of actual Indians doing their inherited Indian war cries. And it always sounds like a kid screaming. It's meant to scare. It's meant to actually
scare you. Right.
Yeah. So they want to sound barbaric.
Interesting on Halloween.
And, interesting place, man. It's very spiritual. Yes. If you go there anytime, it actually feels like a very spiritual place all the time. I've always liked it since I was a kid, but that night was eerie. I didn't like it that night at all.
I can't imagine, bro. I've never, I don't think, been a part of anything that bad. Been a part of some things with malice here that I, you know, can't explain. But what were you going to say, brother?
And if that woman who was riding the horse was a worker there or something, like I said, she would have had to come in one way. We didn't see her. I'm sure she wasn't riding a horse down the highway. That's the only other way she could have got in from there without us seeing her. There's only one way in and one way out.
Right.
And we were right there where everybody has to come in and come out. We did not see her. But if she was somebody who worked there, it startled her, and she went and checked that noise out, too. She was looking at us and looking back where the noise was coming from, too. So either way, you know, it was eerie for all involved.
Malice, what do you got for us on this Halloween? Well, you know, we're recording it, obviously, on Halloween Eve. But what do you got ghost story-wise? Come on, give us your best. Easy, sir. Easy.
I got bronchitis. Well, this was last year. A younger cousin of mine. We like to go on a lot of bike rides. And we were riding on the bike path that, you know, starts in this town and goes to Dayton, Xenia, Yellow Springs. And we did this a number of times, and we'd usually ride at night. You hear all kinds of crazy shit, you know, once you get into, in between Xenia and Yellow Springs, you have, you know, you hear all the animals. Sometimes you hear, you know, predators get the animals, and it's kind of spooky because it's like, you know, less than 50 yards away. This one particular evening, we stopped to take a break, and we're in between Xenia and Yellow Springs, and the area that we're in, you know, it's, you know, a few miles in each direction, you know, between, you know, anyone living along that area. It's about 2:30 in the morning, and out of nowhere, we hear a drum, like an old Indian war drum, and it's just off in the distance, and it's getting louder and louder, and, you know, we only hung out maybe for about 5 minutes before we got that completely creeped out feeling and jumped on the bikes and took off and, you know, stopped, you know, once we got, you know, maybe about a mile down the path, and that's when we pulled out our phones and pulled up our Google Maps and looked in the area, you know, thinking maybe someone was out in the woods, you know, having a party. Maybe we're hearing the music bumping, and there, that's when we found out there weren't any houses in any direction, that we were just out in the middle of nowhere.
Man, that's fucked up. I don't even know what to say about that.
There's this other story I have. I can't remember if I told it before, and if I have, I apologize. I was living out in Germantown, and it was this old farmhouse.
Nobody knows where Germantown, Ohio is. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much a rural area. Right. I mean, it's, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes drive into
Zico!
the town. And right before we had moved into this house, I mean, within a year before we moved in, the person that lived there had emphysema and died in the house. You know, there was always this strange feeling with the house.
Sorry,
it was
that wasn't sound effects. I was actually coughing.
It was just a creepy old house, but nothing had happened. And this one particular evening, Rachel and I was sitting there. She was pregnant with the boys. And, you know, I was talking, you know, it was close to Halloween, trying to scare her, you know. I was like, you know, it'd be crazy, you know. We started hearing shit in this house. And, you know, about that time, there was a knock that came from my closet, you know, three knocks on the wall.
It's always three knocks.
And, you know, it was
a trilogy.
You know, I mean, and at that point, like, you know, I was like, holy shit, you know, what the hell did I just do? And I was like, you knocked on the wall, didn't you? She goes, no, I was hoping that you did it.
And I was like, hoping.
All right. I was like, if there's really someone here, knock on the wall again. And it did it. It did it three times.
So it was responsive.
Yeah. And then we're, you know, laying there and had the lights off because we were watching a movie. I was like, if there's really someone here and you can turn the TV off, turn the TV off. The fucking TV went off. I fucking screamed like a bitch. and jumped up and proceeded to turn every fucking light on in the house like that was going to fucking stop something from fucking getting us. And at that moment, I was like, you know, I don't even want to fucking stay here. I don't even want to live here no more.
Damn. That's fucked up. Haunted location. Here we go, Bobby.
Is the majority of the people listening, are they Ohio?
No. This is all over the internet. But we do have a, you know, that I know of, a few that are here close, Pennsylvania and surrounding neighboring states. So, by all means, you know, blurt out Ohio. What do you got for us?
I have a local one that's pretty unknown.
Okay.
But it's right here, Osborne Road in Fairborn.
Right.
It's and I know the whole story behind it and everything. It's factual as far as the death. But there was a woman found murdered there. It's one of Clark County, Ohio's unsolved mystery murders, by the way. And her name was Crystal Proctor. She was found, you know, draping over a guardrail near a cornfield on one of the bends on Osborne Road. And a lot of people are reporting a lot of spook stuff on Osborne Road. So that could be a nice haunted Halloween type of location to drive your car down. It's a spooky road at night anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a real factual murder that happened there that's unsolved. So
probably the only ones that would do that right now would be us three.
Yeah. But I'm saying, for Halloween's sake, if you want some real spook stuff, you know.
And you know what? That brings up something else while the mic's in your face. Here's something to think about. Wouldn't this be a cool idea? An app that would tell you about the dark history of the location that you're in. No matter where you're at, you can get your local, where you're living at now, any kind of like dark history. It would take a lot of research and it would take somebody to, you know, build an app. But what a cool app that would be. Bobby and myself were discussing this earlier before Malice checked himself in. And you know, I think it's kind of a cool idea, man. Why don't you, you know, give you know, again, your thoughts, and then I want to hear Malice's thoughts on this, because this is actually pretty cool. And then I have maybe, should I tell everyone, you know, what maybe we be, you know, might working on? Maybe might working on. Oh, yeah. What kind of English is that?
Right. It's the kind I understand.
I don't even understand what I just said.
Yeah,
but actually, us three right here are working, talking about some projects, and I'll think about it. Maybe we'll tell everyone at the end of this our first Halloween show. What the hell was I talking about? The app, yes. Yeah. You talked a lot. It seems like you've thought about this more than I have. I just started really thinking about it tonight, which is how I do it, last minute thinking. So, but it's really a cool idea. And think about how cool this would be. Tell us about it, Bobby.
Yeah, well, if the plans work out with the smaller stuff, then eventually an app where it can make it to just about anywhere in the country, or starting locally, of course, and maybe if it could branch out and other people could do it and get involved with stories and stuff, you know, an app with that can bring up to where you're within 100 yards from a significant murder or suicide or historic place. Mm-hmm. You know, where there's been
ghost,
you know,
sighting,
a battlefield, or
battlefield,
you know,
right.
Because even in the most obscure locations that people wouldn't think of, things have happened all over your neighborhood that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of stuff where you don't know if there was a suicide on this corner of this street.
Dark history.
It could pull that up, you know, just a real dark history kind of thing of the place local where you live. And you could have this app and you could just be walking somewhere and it could come up 50 yards to your left down the road. so-and-so between so-and-so houses, you know, two people were murdered on this date.
Or there was a major battle that went on here, you know, in his... Right.
Of course, it probably wouldn't be the greatest idea to actually give home addresses, you know.
But, for
just locations nearby or whatever where things might have happened, I just think it would be a really neat app. And maybe you would take a left-hand turn down that road just because you would want to see that history
and
for yourself.
You know, maybe not in, like, residential areas.
You know, if it's something that happened in the middle of a road or something, that's one thing. Or,
you know, if it's in the middle where there's a bunch of, you don't want a big crowd of people, you know.
A piece of land where they might have found, you know, a murder victim.
Exactly. Or, a big field where there's nothing going on. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it would be interesting. It would have to branch out big. It would be a hard one to come up and do. You know, it would have to be almost a nationwide kind of effort but people could do it in their own towns where they are, and it would be fun for just the people who lived in your town to have that app, maybe.
And
be like, I mean, I know it's not fun, we're talking about gruesome murders and stuff like that, but for people who are into ghost or history or anything, even that dark history can put you in the moment. You know, it might be the era, it might have been something that happened in 1880, and you can go back and look at the articles yourself, that all that stuff would be brought up on the app, all the articles, the newspaper stories, all of it. You could read about it, you can learn it, and know that you're standing on the spot where that happened.
And what if you're living in a house like 112 Ocean Avenue?
Right.
You know, an Indian burial ground.
Right, no doubt. They already know.
Oh man, the Lutzes. What a bunch of putzes is what I say, man. Yeah. They're a bunch of fucking scavengers.
That looks like a beautiful house.
Malice, I want to talk to you for a minute, brother, because I was gonna say something. here we go. You know, Halloween episode. We were going to talk about a couple of things there. One was our little project that I've decided that, yes, maybe we will talk about. And that would be going around, checking out local haunted areas, which kind of goes hand in hand with the app. Go around local haunted areas and let's see what we can find. Let's document, you know, some dark history of our local areas. Actual history. And then let's do a haunt, and let's do
an investigation,
a ghost investigation, you know, if that particular story calls for it. What do you think about that, man?
Man, I think it's awesome.
Neither Living Dreads Productions.
I mean, you know, ghosts are my favorite.
I
love going and investigating, and I even sometimes, you know, take it too far with trespassing, but that, you know, that shit, it scares the hell out of me and excites me at the same time. Like, I can't get enough of it.
Exactly. And you know, our guest tonight, Bobby, this guy, man, this is when we need a camera. Bobby, I want to thank you for hanging out, man, and doing this podcast with us. He's got a lot of places we can go, so it's going to be exciting, man. Any last words, my friend?
Oh, it's been fun hanging out, man. I enjoy the conversation.
Yeah,
it's fun. I like to have conversations, man.
I mean,
it's nice.
Kind of got off the topic, but
well, it's nice to get out of your worldly head sometimes, man, and really start looking at things that are unknown. It's nice.
Absolutely, man.
It's fun.
All right, brother. Cool. Thank you. Again, This has been a really crazy episode. Anyway, it's been a fun episode, man.
Very
I got
fun.
Two of my best friends, man, right here. Two of my best friends in the entire fucking world, right here, doing this podcast with me. Thank you again, Bobby, for hanging and doing this fucking jumbled mess. And again, as always, I want to thank all six listeners. You guys are fucking awesome. The rest of you, well, you'll learn. Hey, and again, as always, Gorehounds of Horror, gorehoundsofhorror.com, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. You see what I did there? I said it three times. That's mind control now. You just got to repeat it three times, man. They're in it. Check us out over there. You'll find myself, Curtis B. Dreads, and you also find
Malice Murphy
over there at gorehoundsofhorror.com and Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Once again, happy fucking Halloween.
Satan's night.
Satan's night. It's the devil's night.
Check it out.
Tuh, tuh, tuh. Check it out. What? Hey. Check it out.
Check it out. You're not even going to believe it.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.